Hey, the chapter number two in Daniel Pinchbeck's new book, Mad to Be Saved, Mad to Be Saved. I don't know if you've heard of him. Don't know if you've read his materials. He's the author of the book, The Return of Quetzalcoatl, all about his trip down among the Mayan temples and even in Africa and the ayahuasca, the drug that opens you up to the spirits. The drug that opens you up to hear from, be influenced by, and maybe even be possessed by the spirits. Now, there's a second book that Daniel has written. I've been interested in Daniel because, reading his book, reading the new book, and getting a feel of his feelings. You know what? God loves humanity. And all I can say is that's what I do. I love humanity. I love humankind. Yes, we've sinned. Yes, we've done wrong. Yes, we've screwed up everything, and we live in the meaninglessness of this dust. Reading chapter two of Deep Trips and Researchers and Timothy Leary and Crowley and all of the new researchers and those involved in going around the world to get the drug. It's kind of crazy. But it's part of biblical revelation. The Spirit of God has given us insight concerning the future. And let me tell you now that there is a ramping up of spiritual supernatural experiences worldwide. The spirits are calling. They are summoning. They are manifesting. But let me tell you this. They have doorways. And the doorways they've used in the past, they are using current and will broaden those doorways as the days move on. So the shamans, the sorcerers, and the drugs of the Mayan gods, well, that's just some of the story. This goes to, the Middle East. This goes to Rome. This goes to Greece. This goes deep down among the Bwiti. In South Africa, Daniel Pinchbeck's book. Now, listen, as I read it this afternoon, in which it's titled Mad to Be Saved. Now, listen, I felt like an actor who had lost the motivation for his part. I go down a little further and I quote this. He's been read from around the world. He's part of that new school of the prophets and the Mayan connection and the 2012 connection. And no question in anybody reading, and I'm only reporting what he, Daniel, has reported. By the way, my prayers are there for Daniel. I would ask all believers to begin to put up your prayers for Daniel Pinchbeck. And I, by God's providence, hope to engage and meet Daniel Pinchbeck. I want to. I'm going to read the words of Daniel Pinchbeck as he is an example of ethnobiologists, botanists, professors, remote viewers, New Agers, book authors, and filmmakers from around the world. They are traveling to the ancient places. They are being taken way back, and they are engaging ancient practices that involves drugs that are known to open you up to the gods and goddesses, small g, to the spirits, to gain an experience. Well, we're going to play a clip of one other researcher in a few moments. And as I sit here tonight, I'm moved by the words of Daniel Pinchbeck in this book, in chapter 2. I know exactly what he's talking about. I know exactly what it feels like to be where he was. Well, I was there back in 1974. Everything changed for me in 1975. I haven't experienced this that I'm going to read to you since 1975. Prior to that, I know exactly what he's talking about. And I would believe in the supernatural providence of God. There are those that will listen live. Welcome to all live listeners. satellite-wise, internet-wise, and to all of you that will download, and to all of you that will receive this because somebody sent it to you. There is a mission behind all of it. Let me tell you, there's a supernatural presence behind all of it. And as I'm speaking to you, there is a presence that grants me joy, that ended my search, and packs me with meaning and expectation for the future. Crushed my fear of death, and opened my spirit to direct fellowship with God. Before we get there and what occurred in 1975, let me quote Daniel Pinchbeck. By God's providence, Daniel, if you ever hear this, I want to meet. Here are the words of Daniel Pinchbeck in chapter 2, titled Mad to Be Saved. Quote, I fell into a spiritual crisis. I fell and I could not get up. Wandering the streets of the East Village, I spent so much time contemplating the meaninglessness of existence that I sometimes felt like a ghost. Perhaps I am already dead, I thought to myself. The world seemed to be wrapped in a cocoon. I could not tear it open, and I was suffocating in it. I did not want what other people wanted, but I didn't know how to find what I needed. I wanted truth, my own truth. Whatever bleak fragment or whatever hellish totality it might turn out to be. There are reasons why I particularly got sucked into this spiritual void. When I look back over my life, I can see the open jaws of the abyss awaiting me. Let me say the words again. Daniel, you've penned these so well, but you are explicitly penning the words that flow from the emotions of soul sorrow. An apologist, Edward Carnell, wrote years ago, soul sorrow. You close your eyes and there's the ideal, there's the life that you wish you knew had meaning and love and no death and harmony and no trouble in the world and no rape and no wars and no cheating. And you were filled with a joy and you knew who you were and you felt significance. But then you open your eyes and you look at the real world. And that's what Daniel is talking about here. His experience of looking at the world, mad to be saved. I fell into spiritual crisis. I fell and I could not get up. And he says, there are reasons why I particularly got sucked into this spiritual void. When I look back over my life, I can see the open jaws of the abyss awaiting me. Later on, he writes in the same chapter that he demanded an original relation to the universe. Nothing abstract, secondhand, or second rate. No history of somebody else's transcendence. Why should not I also enjoy it? Why did it seem such an impossible goal? I'm quoting still Daniel Pinchbeck, second chapter of his book, Breaking Open the Head. Well, it's a book about drugs that break open the head. It's a book about drugs that open you up to otherworldly experiences, drugs that engage the spiritual world and allow you to hear them, maybe see them, maybe be embraced by them, maybe possessed by them, maybe a relationship with them. What Daniel doesn't know is that the spirits are the ones ultimately that arranged this cutting of the root and a way of opening the head to get to them. I'm quoting Daniel Pinchbeck again. Quote, I felt as if I were becoming a ghost, a disembodied survivor of some distant epoch. I realized that if this momentous materialist culture was the end of history, as some writers proclaim, Without spiritual reality, without access to any other level of consciousness or meaning, then life for me was almost intolerable. There's some people that I'm talking to right now, listening right now, that life is almost intolerable. Drugs, alcohol, addictions, searching under every rock, searching every single place you can possibly look. There are believers in Christ listening, and you remember those days. You see, I remember the feelings. I remember the lostness. I remember the meaninglessness. I remember the head banging of trying to figure it out and try every spiritual experience, magic mushroom, drugs, microdot, anything, LSD, anything to get me to the other side. None of it took me there. Here's the other quote, same chapter, Daniel Pinchbeck. At a low point, I recalled illicit illuminations received from certain dried bits of chewy fungus. He's talking about magic mushroom, you know, and tiny paper squares, LSD, I had eaten in college. Most of all, I remembered my encounters with the magic mushrooms. Going back to the quote, he says, what I recalled was the sensory glow, the expansion of colors, sounds, smells. It had been a revelation. How the veils of abstractions suddenly seemed to fall away from my mind. At the time, mushrooms cut through my painful feelings of post-adolescent alienation, although they sometimes magnified my deepest anxieties. Here's the confession of an acid head, Daniel, an acid head. Go ahead and admit it. You know, trying everything, seeking everything from that absolute sense of lostness, Daniel pins these words. I'm going to quote it again. Quote, at the time, mushrooms, the kind of plant root material that opens the head to the other realms, I continue the quote, cut through my painful feelings of post-adolescent alienation, although they sometimes magnified my deepest anxieties. You know, I was speechless when I was reading some of these words, and it actually took me back to those feelings at the end of the 60s. You know, among the drugs, the rock and roll, and the partying, and the spiritism, and the rituals, and the Buddhist temple, and the master, and all the feelings, all the attempts, seeking and looking and trying to gain. Daniel Pinchbeck in his book, Breaking Open the Head, Chapter 2, Mad to Be Saved. Man, there are some people out there that are just hungry to get saved. They don't know what they're looking for. They don't know how they can find it. I didn't know how I can find it. I didn't know that it was going to be at a party where drugs were flowing, alcohol was flowing, the rock was flowing, the sex was flowing, all the stuff was going on there in 69, 70, 71, 72, 73. That's right, I started young. After school, we departed from home and got our own apartment, and the drugs flowed all the more. And the search and the reading and the experiences spiritually were sought after because of a sense of absolute lostness, the sense of it didn't all make sense. I'm reading now Daniel Pinchbeck, quote, I started experimenting with mushrooms and LSD again. At first, finding these drugs was a surprisingly difficult task in New York. He goes on to talk about later on, Africa, the ayahuasca trip. You know, the stuff of the Maya, the stuff around the world, but what they used. Ayahuasca trip, while intriguing, left me deeply unsatisfied. Imagine that, the drugs that opened the door to the spirits. He goes on to say, my ability to have visions seemed extremely meager, a hard head. I lacked the capacity to hallucinate. Even my dreams were meager gray voids. I wondered if my intense desire to reach the visionary state stemmed from some intrinsic physical flaw. Something wrong with us. Something wrong with us, Daniel. Daniel, there's something wrong with humanity. There's something wrong because we harm each other. We kill each other. We cheat each other. We lie. We steal. We slaughter. We search for meaning. We are bullied, and there are bullies, and there's darkness in the world, and we can't come to grips with it. Like you, I wasn't involved in any kind of religion. Daniel talks about his parents and their anti-religious stance. What do you do? What do you do in the search like this? The constant look, the constant search, the constant, well, like others, the acid trips, the... Can I tell you something? When I think in terms of the words that Daniel writes and the feelings that not only came out of the 60s, the Woodstock, and listen, afterwards, all the happiness, all the stardust, all of the drugs and all the free sex and all of the babies born that didn't have moms and dads and all of the drugs that were given down the road. And when you track the 60s into the 70s and the children that began to be raised and going into the 80s, there was a Time magazine article years back where it depicted young people, a lot of those coming out of the wombs of the moms from the 60s, and some that had the dads, and as they were being raised, they were going through grade school and high, you know, junior high and high school, and they knew what their parents were involved with. But the caption for the 1980s were America's youth in search of a cause. Daniel Pinchbeck, involved in all kinds of consciousness, spiritual experiences, and we're doing a little tracking of Daniel and the prophets' meetings and the 2012, all over the world, the spiritual presence that's moving many into a collective unity, believing that there is coming a spiritual evolution of humanity. That's right. The spirit's coming through the drugs. Guess what they're telling people all over the world? They're telling people all over the world that... They're telling people all over the world that an evolution and elevation of humanity is coming. I'm going to go back to Daniel Pinchbeck's book just for a minute, because earlier on in the book, he writes about the issue of an intersection of archaic drugs and modern thinkers. An intersection of archaic drugs and modern thinkers leading to the 60s, and he says these words, a failed mass cultural void of shamanic initiation. And up to the present day, he quotes Walter Benjamin, a German Jewish thinker who experimented with hashish and mescaline in the 20s. You got to hear this. It's all about getting that visionary intoxication achieved through drugs or other means. Could be a profound, listen, a profane illumination shattering the hypnotic trance of modern life. There is another individual in this book that grabbed my attention. This is another guy that wanted to engage the Bawidi, you know, the African tribe, and he wanted to get the the bush, the drug, the aboga. And his name is Lieberman, and he says in these words, quote, "For them, the aboga is a super conscious spiritual entity that guides mankind." In reference to the drug, it's inseparable in the minds of the Bawiti that the presence of the spirit is in the drug, and the drug is used to open a person to the spirit. So for them, the aboga is a, quote, super conscious spiritual entity that guides mankind, he said. You know what he goes on to say? And this is a ethnobotanist. And this ethnobotanist has tried the stuff, been among the folks. He talks about it being hallucinatory compound. It's concentrated in the plant's root bark. Now, remember when I went over the word pharmacon, going to the Old Testament Septuagint, going back as far as we could in the concept of the Hebrew word, the cutting of the root. Extra-biblical material tells us fallen angels were training fallen humanity in the cutting of the root and the development of this kind of drug. Well, it goes way back. And they all understand that. They all, the Bawiti, the Maya, around the world, they understand this goes back thousands of years. Talking about the professor, talking about the ethnobotanist, here's what he says. Listen, I want you to hear these words. Has everything to do with what we're doing this week in these series. Before I tell you, let me stop, let me back up, let me tell you, welcome to all listening live right now, to those listening later on, and this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is Shatter's live broadcast on the 10th of February, 2011. Told you how cold it was yesterday, below minus 2, I think, last night, 11 degrees this afternoon when I was out and about. On the website, www.shatterthedarkness.net, it just simply titled for the week, the theme, Pharmacon, Sorcerers, Drug Lords, the Future, and the Demons Who Use Them All. Monday night, we dealt with the ancient use. Tuesday night, we dealt with the 60s, even my experience in the very late 60s and early 70s. And then Wednesday night, the demonic use of drugs, drug lords, the drug trade. Tonight, the shamans. And if you go to the Bawiti, there are shamans that will take you through this. I'm going to play a clip from another researcher that was down there. And observing him take the drug, the aboga, and ingest it, and then immediately begin to throw up all over the place. He tells us that some people can't go through it all. They die. Well, that's true in the United States. I had friends that died in their trips. Friday, we're going to talk about into the future and what biblical prophecy says about the association of Pharmacon, the drug connection to the spirits, and the unprecedented manifestation worldwide. ShatterTheDarkness.net, we have, for those who are believers in Christ, the book of Acts. We had the introduction already, and just today we put up session number 1, dealing with the first 3 verses. Now, if you want to be involved in the greatest mission humankind has ever known, it's all about redemption. It's all about the answer for this meaninglessness that Daniel Pinchbeck was talking about. And the search, as a matter of fact, is God comes in human flesh. The words out of the mouth of Christ, listen, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Just as there are many people seeking, hundreds of millions worldwide, just as there is a spiritual river flowing out of Hell's Kitchen that gives the alternative, the distraction, never giving the answer, never giving the release, the relief, the never getting to the core issue. It can't. It's not God. Well, the book of Acts is all about the mission of God to the sum total of humanity. Good news, no condemnation. There's a Savior. There's one that has come into the world to reach us. So as maybe some of you have been seekers and lookers and researchers and you're trying to find it, let me tell you this. God is seeking you. God is looking after you. God is searching for you, and may, by his grip of grace and mercy, and it is sweet, may you listen. Book of Acts, for those who want to be a part of that great mission, has begun. It's going to go on from anywhere 3 to 6 months, two or three of those sessions every week, with homework, that's right, being a part of the mission, getting out there, doing the stuff. Well, that's vital, and that's what we all need to be doing. And let me tell you again, I'm going back to a book that is entitled Breaking Open the Head. It's one of many. Now, I've got McKenna's books, The Food of the Gods in reference to magic mushrooms. I've gone over deep studies again with Timothy Leary that is now floating around in space. His ashes were sent there after his death. And Crowley, and I want to mention something about that in just a moment, but I wanted you to know that we had a new session up, and for those who want to be a part of the mission. Well, not too far from me, Allentown, Pennsylvania, explosions. Some are dead, others are missing. And I just wrote to a man that wrote to me that listens to this live broadcast and has helped us out in this live broadcast. Now, this is a tremendous thing because Allentown, PA, is where years ago a little boy named Lewis was abducted. They've never found him. I finally called the detective to tell him that a girl out of Oregon, out of nowhere, shows up in my office here in Akron, Ohio. She begins to tell me the story of a mother, her mother, and a stepfather who abducted a little boy out of Allentown, Pennsylvania. They brought him to the Copley area of Ohio. They took him to a ritual. Now, the ritual leader, the priest, Kaino, we engaged numerous times, and he was lethal, and he was deadly, and he was a drinker of blood. He was all of what that radical evil demonstrates. So I contacted the lead detective not too long ago, told him all about the stuff. Now, this officer that I gave the information to hasn't done a thing connecting to on the information. So I think it's providential, since prayers have poured in to bring answers to this old case, a cold case. I'm definitely going to travel to Allentown to engage law enforcement that, well, we have some inside information to give them. Maybe I'll meet this fella and want to say welcome and thank you for the help you've given for the radio project and this work. But Allentown has had some explosions, and I watched it on the news. It's vast, and it looks like gas explosions, so we can keep our prayers up for all of them. I want to also say to a friend in the Czech Republic, Michael. Now, I almost never say names, but Michael may be listening live right now. And clear over there in the Czech Republic, he had emailed me about my message on Tuesday night concerning the drugs and the acid and Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley, if nobody... Listen, those who know Crowley know a lot about him. Those who don't know the name... major individual, wrote a lot of books, raised in what he feels and others was a vastly strict religious home. But Aleister Crowley, he got into the dark side. And there may be those Crowleyans that wonder why I don't show any respect to Crowley, don't show any honor to Crowley. I mean, he was he taught as a professor. He was... listen, he wrote prolifically in books. As a matter of fact, his books go around the world today. He wanted to help as a spy to, spy and do things against Hitler. He wanted the British to take him in. I mean, this guy traveled the world. This guy experienced, but listen, if anybody reads his life story, sees any of the documentaries, or engages Kralinian practitioners today, there is an elitism. The do as thou hast wilt, do as thou wilt. I mean, I interpreted that, and I believe rightly so, do whatever you want, because that means to the core nature, yeah, you're right, the will, inside fallen man. Crowley took that to the nth degree. All the women that he got pregnant, the kids that he didn't take care of, he was a horrible father. His little baby daughter died, he didn't care. He involved himself in perverted, slave-oriented sex with young boys, and he couldn't wait to get to young college boys. Did a lot of sex magic with individuals in which he used them, degraded them, beat them. Led a lot of people into the drug-spirit connection. And his works today do the same. Considered himself a beast. Considered himself one of the most evil men in the world. And rightly so. So I have no respect for the Kralinian teaching. The secret society. And I understand. See, when we counter-infiltrated the Black Sun Camp, Kralinian teachers, Crowley practitioners here. Oh, we've engaged, we've discussed, and yes, there's an elitism, and yes, there is a disdain, but that comes from that sense of spiritual superiority in their knowledge and what they're able to do and what they think they're able to do and in their practices. They do look down on the rest of humanity, as Crowley did. I have no respect for the man that destroyed lives, destroyed his own life, hated Christ, absolutely used his sex magic, his drugs, to try to reinterpret Scripture. Crowley not only was misled and willingly went down that road, he's led now probably millions. His materials open the doors to the spirits. His rituals open the doors to the spirits. His unabated use of drugs and the drinking of blood, possible human sacrifice and the drinking of blood, it even brought the death of one of the fellows there in Italy. He got kicked out of Italy, got kicked out of France. I mean, there was radical evil there. He died in crazed, diseased poverty. He died with the words, "I am perplexed." So let me say to a friend in the Czech Republic, it is very true that I'm not probably as polished as Kralinian practitioners would want me to be, but I'm not under their lordship. I don't serve them. The last Kralinian practitioner that I engaged reached out his hand to shake hands with me. Oh, there was evil in his eye, evil in his heart. And when I went away, he took the woman and the kids that we were trying to help away. 8 months later, he, through Kralinian ritual practice, they were using the little girl. They were jabbing her feet full of, I think, 40-some stab wounds. They had taken tattoo guns and put symbols in the side of this little baby girl's head without the tattoo ink. She had broken bones all over. They were collecting her tears. They were doing this to align and grab powers. They wanted to raise the twin sister. I have zero respect for Aleister Crowley. He lived as a spiritual dog. Read the book of Revelation, chapter 22, about how the dogs are on the outside. Crowley was a dog in that sense. Sad in his humanity and his utter rejection of God, of Christ, and of the revelation of God. He went the other way to the nth degree, and really there's no checks. being a gentleman while doing sex magic, using individuals, creating pain and harming them, and some of them dying in the midst of it, ruining their lives. There is no respect. So the warning is that the man that thought he was and probably was one of the most evil men in history has opened the door for the spirits to use him to seduce others into the same. Blessings to my friend there in the Czech Republic, and we'll always try to communicate in the best of ways, but I'm not here to bow to the Luciferian elite, to those who feel they're superior to the rest of humanity, just the way the fallen cherub does. Ain't no respect in my heart for that at all. I respect the Lord Jesus, who gave his life on a cross, crying out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I respect Christ, who didn't get caught into the sin and into the radical evil and won a victory for the totality of humanity. I give respect, I give worship, I give love, I give my life to this Savior that died and rose. And for Daniel Pinchbeck and others listening right now, alive right now and in this room, in my heart. See, there's a song in my life. There's a joy in my life. And I know that Daniel doesn't want somebody else's transcendent experience. This is not about just the power of God, the grace of God, and the overwhelming spiritual supernatural experience that I know in Christ. This is about the person. This is about the relationship. This is about knowing God personally, God coming into your life personally. And we can talk about the infinite God, the immeasurable God. We can talk about the attributes. We can talk about the absolute awesome and incredible nature of God. And what we don't want to miss is, number one, God is infinitely willing to be known and make himself known. God is knowable. God is to be experienced, but God didn't give magic mushrooms to reach him. In the late 60s and the early 70s, none of the buddies, LSD, mushrooms, peyote, any of it, none of that led to God. A lot of people said that that would. A lot of my buddies had sat in our house smoking the pot, doing the bong, and then taking the acid or the mushroom or the LSD tab. We're going to see God. Well, the closest anyone that I knew that did said that, yeah, God sat on his shoulder. God was a little green man and talked with him for hours. There are those now using the magic mushroom, LSD, others, and there are those that believe that it should be unleashed to the world. Did you hear what I said? In light of biblical prophecy in which this kind of drug will become rampant globally in an inseparable connection to the dark spirits, there are those that want this drug. And I go back to Daniel Pinchbeck's book, Breaking Open the Head. I have read his, well, revealing of his heart. Thank you, Daniel, for revealing your heart and your search and the depth of that sense. Almost desperate. Well, that's why you probably titled the chapter, Mad to be Saved. It could be by the providence of God, someone's bringing you an answer. There is someone that has given his life to save you. There is someone who's come to seek and to save you. And Daniel Pinchbeck, wherever you are in the world, whether among the Mayan temples up there in New York, out there in South Africa, someone seeks you. And I'm going to say that you've opened to the wrong side. And it's clear that it didn't satisfy you, didn't give you the answer, as was the truth out of the 60s. when you think in terms of the magic mushroom, when you think in terms of this drug that is being used around the world, I go to this book and I'm reading. You can say that he's a botanist. He's more than that. But here's his words, and I quote, "I have spent time in the rainforests of Africa, east and west, Madagascar, and the Amazon, working with shamans, witch doctors, healers." His name is Lieberman. He emailed Daniel before Daniel went down there to experience Iboga. And here's what the man wrote. Here's a guy that experienced it. "In my view, the spirits have guided and opened his head." And here's what the botanist, the ethnobotanist, says. Listen to these words clearly. This is what you're going to find out in the researchers in universities, Harvard, Cambridge, around the world. Here's what you're going to find in the rise of dark spirits, unprecedented rise. There'll be a rise, an unprecedented rise of the drugs that are being pushed from that side as a doorway for, listen, searching humanity to gain some kind of grasp. Yeah, the material of it, well, for some, and Daniel did it, went clear down there. I think it was said that to go to the Bwiti, the initiation writes the costs $7,000. Well, it included the plane ticket, the cost of the ritual, and the botanist's fee. So the botanist tells Daniel, and here's what he writes in the book. The drug, this supernaturally inspired use of the drug, he says, and I quote, "I feel to be the one plant that needs to be introduced to the world and urgently." Now I want you to hear this again. I quote, and this is the sentiment, this is what I'm trying to convey this week in the series. The rise of the old stuff, LSD and peyote and the magic mushroom, Terrence McKenna and Graham Hancock and all of those that are traveling down among the Mayan temples. Maybe it's the drugs that have opened them up to kind of masquerade the real history of the massive human agony in massive human sacrifice and the cutting off of heads and the ripping out of guts and the sacrificing of young virgin girls and the sacrificing of kids in the fire. Maybe the spirits know how to dumb down the researchers, only having them focus on their need and supply what it is the demons perceive they want. Well, the dark side, they're perceivers, all right. They can look you up and down and decide what it is you might want. They can masquerade, they can morph, they can exchange their utter horrific evil presence, masquerade as an angel of light, as an ancient spirit, as an ascended master, as the great white brotherhood, as the great hierarchy. The botanist says these words, and I bring the warning to the body of Christ that there will be, with the direct rise, unprecedented rise of dark presence, counterfeit signs, what all the massive supernaturalism, which is only right now a taste of what is to come. It will be inseparably connected to and may be globally broadened by the use of these kind of drugs as they get out. Remember the movie Serpent in the Rainbow? Remember the companies that sent the guy down to get the kind of drugs Well, listen, there are companies that want drugs. There are companies that have used drugs. The Nazi doctors did. The CIA did. Where did LSD come from anyway? Wasn't there developmental labs there at Berkeley and Southern California universities? Who doth use the drug lords to reach the rest of the world? The spirits among the Bawidi and the shaman and those who've gone down there that have experienced it, well, they're calling for this drug, and I quote now, I feel to be the one plant that needs to be introduced to the world and urgently. Now, those are the words I caught. The one plant that needs to be introduced to the world. Can I say it again? Globalism, Luciferic globalism, Babylon, Pharmakia, introduced to the world and urgently. Now, listen to this introduction of another researcher among the Bawiti.
Deep in the rainforest of Central Africa, an extraordinary initiation ritual is about to begin. This is Bawiti, a unique religion based around the consumption of a powerful hallucinogen called Iboga. I'm about to be initiated into the Bawiti faith by a group of Bobongo tribesmen.
Now stop there for a second. Here's a researcher who's gone all the way down there, and he is there to be initiated by ritual. It's what Daniel Pinchbeck has talked about. It's what the ethnobotanist had done. And this is the experience, he is saying, needs to be brought out to the world and urgently. Where's the urgency coming from? What spiritual presence drives the urgency to open the door to maybe millions more that will experience, well, what I'm watching here on a YouTube video? Now, you can check it out. I'll link it maybe to my site tomorrow, but listen to what the researcher goes on to say.
Deep in the rainforest of Central Africa, an extraordinary initiation ritual is about to begin. This is Bawiti, a unique religion based around the consumption of a powerful hallucinogen called Iboga. I'm about to be initiated into the Bawiti faith by a group of Bobongo tribesmen. The drug makes you...
Now listen, the tribesmen, the shamans, just gave him the drug. I'm watching the video as the researcher now is throwing up his guts onto the ground before he goes into the engagement with the spiritual world. Listen.
You're violently sick, purging your body of sin. Then the visions come. The Bobongo believe your soul leaves your body and is free to go on a great journey.
The Bobongo believe that in the taking of the drug, your spirit leaves or your soul leaves your body out into the spirit realm to engage what is out there. It is a drug like LSD, like many others, ayahuasca, that does open something up and becomes a gateway. Now again, God has never needed a drug to open up anyone to know him. Let me say clearly right now, I'm going to share after the rest of this, there is a way to know God directly, immediately, your own experience, your own relationship, the love of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the purpose of God, the healing of God, and what the future does hold. A little bit more of this researcher in the midst of a ritual.
To speak with the spirits of animals and plants.
Did you hear that?
Your body of sin.
He's throwing up.
Then the visions come.
Visions come.
The Bobongo believe your soul leaves your body and is free to go on a great journey. To speak with the spirits of animals and plants.
Speak with the spirits of animals
and plants.
They
say Iboga allows you to see yourself as you really are, from the inside out. Days later, you emerge cleansed, reborn. But this rebirth is not without risk. People have died doing this, their hearts failing as the drug pumps through their body. I'm a day's walk from the nearest road, 2 days from medical help. This film tells the story of my journey into the heart of Bwiti. My name's Bruce Parry.
Bruce Parry is the one from this YouTube video that's gone down there. When I watch the video, I see a man taking the drug, instantly throwing up his guts onto the ground, and then going back, looking like he's in agony, well, soul living his body, going out to the spirits of animals and plants and engaging and finding himself, and then days later coming out of it to be reborn. Is that how you get reborn? And others die because the drug and the experience kills them. That to me is amazing. It reminds me of the trips in the late 60s, early 70s that go on around the world now. It reminds me of the trips that Daniel Pinchbeck in his book, The Return of Coxycoddle, and his book, Breaking Open the Head. Magic Mushrooms. Now, I've got so many books on it right now, taking a look at some of the new stuff, and here's the urgency I want to bring to those listening. There is clearly more and more and more individuals, researchers, and professors, and psychologists, and New Agers, and 2012ers specifically. Here's a message for all the 2012ers. They are being led to take the magic mushrooms, to take the ayahuasca, to take the iboga, to do the kinds of drugs, the exact kinds of cutting at the root drugs, pharmakia. It's the kind of drugs in the Old Testament spoken about, well, about 20 times specifically. Engagement with the demons. The gods, goddesses, call them by whatever name you want, but their presence, finite, anti-God, anti-Christ. And here to distort, here to deceive, and here to take life. If they are the ones, as I believe, as researchers believe, as there are in biblical Hebrew studies concerning the Greek Septuagint use of pharmakia, then it's the dark fallen spirits that have introduced this to fallen humanity. They are the ones that conceived the inception. And it's all about opening doors to their side. It's like the Ouija board, open doors to that side. It's like a dark ritual or a magic ritual that Aleister Crowley did or one that LaVey did or one that, well, we can go on and on and on. Those are the gateways to the finite spirits, the dark spirits. There's probably thousands of them still present among the Mayan ruins and the temples that were designed most likely by the Nephilim and demonic inspiration. The spirits and the ancient spirits, they're not the wise masters and the ancient wise ones to engage you, to give you your meaning and your purpose and your... Because everybody keeps seeking, everybody keeps looking. It's the next drug trip, it's another tab, it's another place, it's another engagement. They can't give you what you lost when you lost God, when humanity lost God in the beginning. We were built, body, soul, and spirit, to in majesty to know God, to walk with God. In the beginning, we even saw and walked with the Lord visually. But oh, this fall, this deep fall, it was brought to us, and we've done it. Daniel Pinchbeck's lostness, my lostness, maybe your lostness, you've got to understand, is because we have cut ourselves off from God. Our human spirit is dead to God. Have you ever read? Can I give you the scripture? Ephesians chapter 2. Daniel Pinchbeck, or anyone as a researcher like him, seeking and looking and wanting out of the desperation The drugs, I don't know of one individual that ever reached satisfaction. Can't get any of it that way. Let me mention quickly here, the spirits are calling, they're opening the doors to this world of drugs. Friday night, we're going to go into the prophetic side of the, well, spirit-given, spirit-oriented, spirit-doorway drugs that are just dying to get out into the rest of the world with urgency. Number one, the drug door is bursting upon the world scene. Number two, the new research, psychologists and researchers, ethnobotanists, and, well, all kinds of professors and seekers, they're wanting answers somehow that will go beyond the failure of the 60s. There's a great quest spiritually. And yes, you can experience things. Yes, you can have engagement with the spirits and talk to them, and they can talk to you. They can also possess you. But they've led no one to God because they oppose God. They can give you counterfeit information about Christ, a de-deified nothing Christ. But they don't want nothing to do with the real Christ that died on a cross, shed a blood that they know nothing of. Only they fear it. You see, this whole search for the drugs is about expanding human consciousness. There's also the drug greedy, well, the drug lord, the greedy, the millions, the billions. I mentioned yesterday, what, $321 billion worldwide industry? And what about the conspiracy and the New World Order? Who behind the scenes, like the Nazi doctors, like the dark CIA use of LSD and introducing it to the world? Well, here we are at the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar, and my cry out to you is simply this. The living Christ can come into your life, bring the direct presence of God. You can come to know God. The search can end. Check out the site, shatterthedarkness.net. Remember us in prayers, my friends. Remember us in support. Good night.